break into her house. One day, while she was in bed, she heard a noise downstairs. She woke her husband up and she told him to go and investigate. So he put on his dressing gown and downstairs he went. And there was a burglar in the house. The husband said to the burglar, "Hello, my wife has been waiting to see you for 10 long years. Why don't you come upstairs and I can introduce you to her?" We may smile at such a story, but in many ways it's a sad one, isn't it, to think that for so many years she was filled with worry and anxiety. I wonder whether you know what it's like to lie in bed worrying endlessly about something. The mind races, doesn't it? And you toss and you turn and you just can't get to sleep. The Lord Jesus might be able to lie fast asleep in the back of a boat in the midst of a raging storm, but you and I tend to be more like his disciples, full of panic and worry or anxiety. What do we worry about? Well, we worry about all kinds of things. We may, as individuals, worry about different sorts of things. Situations at work, issues in the family, homework, money, relationships, and so on and so forth. The list is endless. The believers in Philippi were worried and anxious about the false teachers that were gaining influence. But perhaps there was also concern over some disunity in the church, that there was a disagreement between Euodia and Syntyche. We don't know exactly what it was over, but we know that a disagreement between two people can so easily affect the whole of the church. Well, there was concern perhaps about this, anxiety, worry. But you know, God doesn't want us to worry. He doesn't want us to be anxious. Matthew 6, verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." God wants us as believers to be a people who are free from anxiety and to know his peace. God is a God of peace. His son, the Lord Jesus, is described in the Bible as the Prince of Peace. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples when they were troubled about him leaving them and going back to his Father? He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." God wants us to know his peace. But how can we be at peace rather than filled with endless worry and anxiety? There are two big themes, I think, in the book of Philippians: joy and peace. And clearly this letter was written by the Apostle Paul in order that the believers might know both. Well, today we're going to look at two verses in Philippians that tell us how we can know God's peace rather than being filled with anxiety. Let me read the relevant verses to you. Verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And I'd like us to look at these two verses under three headings. Firstly, what we are to avoid. Secondly, what we are to do. And thirdly, what we are to expect. Firstly, then, what we are to avoid. What does Paul say? Do not be anxious about anything. We are to avoid anxiety. Full stop. This is a command. Jesus says something similar to us in Matthew chapter 6. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. God does not want us to be a worrying people, an anxious people. But I do think that some care is needed when talking about not worrying. You see, there is a proper or rightful care or concern that we are to have. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, we read that Timothy had a genuine concern for the welfare of the Philippians. We should be concerned about the welfare of the church. We should be worried in a right sense about the growth and the maturity of the Church of Jesus Christ. What kind of people would we be, you see, if we didn't worry or care about anything? There is then a right kind of worry, a right kind of care. But the kind of worry or care that we shouldn't have is the kind that makes us sick. We talk about being worried sick, don't we? The kind of worry that makes us over anxious or panicky. One commentator speaks of harassing care. Here Paul speaks of anxiety. It's this kind of worry that robs us of God's peace. We are to avoid anxiety. But secondly this morning, what are we to do? What are we to do when we're filled with worry and care, filled with anxiety? What does the text say that we are to do? Well, perhaps first of all, it would be good for us to point out a few things that the text doesn't say. Firstly, the text doesn't say stop worrying and pull yourself together. I don't know whether anybody has ever told you to do that before. I seem to recall that people have said that to me before. But it's not that easy, is it? Because the feelings of worry or anxiety are so strong at times. In fact, they're overwhelming. Secondly, the text doesn't say stop thinking about whatever is troubling you. Suppress it. Put it to the back of your mind. Oh, if only when we were worried and anxious we could do that. That's the reason we can't sleep, isn't it? Thirdly, the text doesn't say stop worrying about it. It might never happen. How many times have people told you to stop worrying about something because it might never happen? Why doesn't that help? Well, because you know that it might happen. That's the point, isn't it? The burglar might break into the house. He probably won't, but he might. The relationship might go from bad to worse. The difficulties that you're worrying about may prove to be more and more problematic. But thankfully, the text doesn't say any of these things. So what does the text say? The text says this: in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. What are we to do when we're worried and anxious? We are to take the matter to God. See, as believers, we have access to the throne of God. From the throne of God, we can receive grace and help during our time of need. We're to avail ourselves of it. How does the famous hymn go? We'll be singing it at the end of the service. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. It's a simple thing, isn't it? But this is what we're exhorted to do, to bring the matter to God. How do we bring the matter to God? Well, let's break up the verse a little bit. And firstly, say by prayer. By prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer. Now, this word is a general term for coming to God that involves worship and adoration. So often when we've got problems and cares, we're quick to come before God with our lists of requests, aren't we? But it's right and proper that we should begin with worship and adoration. This is, after all, how the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." But you know, it's as we come to God in this particular way that we find ourselves helped. Why? Well, because we remind ourselves of who God is. He's sovereign. He's all powerful. He loves us. He cares for us. We remind ourselves as we pray in this particular way that he is infinitely great and bigger than all of our problems, and he's able to meet us at the point of our need. How do we come before God? With prayer, but also with petition. By prayer and petition. Having begun with worship, we can then get down to the particulars. Lord, please grant me what I need. Please give me today my daily bread. Lord, you know me better than I know myself. You know what's going on in my mind. You know what's within my heart. You know my situation. You know that I can't sleep. You know how worried and stressed I am about this particular matter. Please help me not to worry. Help me to trust in you. Help me to be confident that you are in control. Help me to rest assured that you are at work in my situation for my ultimate good and for your glory. Please grant me your peace. When we come to God, we do so with prayer and petition. But there's a third thing, with thanksgiving. This is something that we're constantly exhorted to do, isn't it, in the Scriptures. To come before the Lord with thanksgiving. Clearly this is something that pleases God. But of course it does us good as we remind ourselves of the times when God has answered our prayers in the past. Lord, there was that time when we're really struggling financially, but you met our need. Thank you for meeting our need. Lord, there was that time when we found ourselves in that situation and we couldn't see a way out of it, but you provided a way out of it. Thank you, Lord, for that time when you did that in our lives. Friends, if we have worries and cares, do we bring them before the Lord? Or do we endeavour to sort of soldier on in our own strength? That might be the temptation. We tend to be proud, don't we, as human beings. I'm okay. I don't need anybody else's help. I'll be fine. Thank you very much. Why would we do that when God invites us to come before him? And to cast all our cares, all our worries, all our anxieties upon him. God has the remedy for our anxiety, and it is his peace. Firstly, what we are to avoid. Secondly, what we are to do. But thirdly, what we are to expect. What are we to expect? Well, the peace of God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now my job as a pastor stroke teacher is to explain the scripture, but how do you explain something that surpasses all understanding? You can't, can you? But that is the way that the peace of God is spoken about. I may not be able to explain it this morning, but I will say this, that it's something that is real and can be experienced by every believer. And many Christians will testify to knowing God's peace in the midst of the most trying of circumstances. The testimony of a Christian might go something like this. We were concerned about having enough money to pay the bills, but we were at peace about it. We didn't fret one little bit, which is not really like us. We found ourselves trusting God to provide. We knew that He knew what we needed. And we believed that He would meet our need in good time. We were at peace. God granted us His peace. Listen to what Isaiah 26 verse 3 says the Lord will do for the one who trusts in Him. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Now there's one really important thing that I want to stress this morning, and it's this. There is no limit to experiencing God's peace. Whatever situation we might find ourselves in, we can know it. Let me tell you a story that one of my favourite preachers tells in one of his books. He tells the experience of a man named John George Carpenter, a general in the Salvation Army. This man and his wife had to part with their daughter, a lovely girl, of whom they were so fond and so proud, and who had dedicated her young life to foreign mission work in the Far East. Suddenly she was taken ill with typhoid fever. Of course they began to pray. But John Carpenter could not explain it. That they could not pray for the child's recovery. They went on praying, but their prayer was, "Thou canst heal her if thou wilt." They could not positively ask God to heal her. Only, "Thou canst if thy will." They could get no further. And they went on like this for 6 weeks, and then their beautiful girl died. The very morning she died, John Carpenter said to Mrs. Carpenter, "You know, I am aware of a strange and curious calm within." And Mrs. Carpenter replied, "I feel exactly the same." And she said to him, "This must be the peace of God." And it was the peace of God. We can know the peace of God in all kinds of difficult situations. But do you notice what Paul goes on to say? This peace will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It is so important as Christians that we know this peace day by day. Why? Because without it, we shall be vulnerable to all kinds of temptations and sins. Imagine being worried about a situation at work. It's very easy, isn't it, for us to become anxious about situations at work. Well, if we don't deal with that anxiety, we may find ourselves coming home and shouting at our spouse or at our children. Maybe you've done that before. I know that I've done it before. I've had to apologize for doing that before. if we're worried and anxious about something and can't find any comfort, we may be tempted to find comfort in ways that displease God. It may be that we're worried and anxious about the future. Well, if that is so, then perhaps for some there is a temptation, a great temptation, to seek a spiritualist or a fortune teller. We may be worried and anxious about money. If so, we may be tempted to steal. Not perhaps by robbing a bank or something like that, but maybe hiding something on our tax form. Or perhaps holding back when it comes to our tithe. You see how important it is that we know God's peace. The Apostle Paul says this peace will guard, it will protect our minds and our hearts from the worry and anxiety that makes us so vulnerable to temptation and sin. But there are two more words in our text, three more words actually, that are really important. And they appear right at the end of verse 7. In Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But notice that different translations put it in a slightly different way. I rather like the way that the Good News Bible puts it, though I'm not, if I'm honest, a big fan of that particular translation. It puts it like this, in union with Christ Jesus. The point is this, that this peace can be known and enjoyed by those in union with Christ Jesus. In other words, it can be known by those who are trusting in Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. Are you trusting in Him? Will you trust in Him if you're not yet trusting in Him? It's a peace that can be known and enjoyed by those in Christ Jesus. Christian friends, it is because of Jesus and His sacrificial death upon the cross that we can be at peace with God and no longer objects of His wrath. It's because of Jesus that we can stand forgiven and righteous in God's sight. It's because of Jesus that we can be children of God and loved and cared by God. It is because of Jesus that we can have the assurance that God is at work in all things for our good. It is because of Jesus that we can expect God to grant to us all that we need as we live our lives day by day. It is because of Jesus that we have a good and certain hope. It is because of Jesus that we can know rest, calm, peace. You see, all the blessings of God come to us in and through the Lord Jesus. They cannot be known apart from Him. I'm almost done this morning, but I want to tell you another story. In 1555, Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ. And on the night before Ridley's execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber to be of assistance and comfort. Nicholas declined the offer and replied that he meant to go to bed and sleep as quietly as ever he did in his life. Because he knew the peace of God, he could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his need. And so can we. I think that's an incredible story. Here is a man who knows that the following morning he's going to suffer an excruciatingly painful death. And yet he has a peace about it. Why? Well, because he knows that his God is in control. He knows that his God will somehow meet his need. He knows that all is well with his soul. And that these terrible flames are really the doorway to everlasting satisfaction in the presence of his God. The word of the Lord to us this morning is this: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends, or as some translations say, surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's not easy, is it, not to worry? We all worry, we all find ourselves anxious about one kind of thing or another. I'm not saying it's easy not to be anxious or worried, but here is the answer to dealing with worry and anxiety: bringing the matter to God, trusting in Him, enjoying His peace. Let's pray together, shall we?